Welcome to Americana Music News. This is Ken Paulson. And today we've got a special guest, Josh Headley, who's got a new album coming out on Third Man called Mr. Jukebox. Welcome.
Hey, thank you very much.
I'm sitting here at the City Winery, which if you're not from Nashville, it's a great venue, and it's they bring in all kinds of talented people. And our friends at WMOT Radio brought in Margo Price to play songs from her most recent album. But I had no idea who the opener was, and then Josh Headley shows up, and man, he's good. So this is an impromptu podcast show. It's like when opportunity presents itself. I was impressed by your whole set, but knocked out by the fact that you covered Almost Persuaded. Tell me a little about why that song inspires you.
I actually found that song through the B-side. I was playing downtown with a guy named Scott Eisenhagel, and he used to perform the B-side of that, which is called Living in a House Full of Love. And I was just pawing through 45s, and I found that song, and I was like, oh, I love this song, I'm gonna get this. And then I turned it over and I found Almost Persuaded, the A-side, which I had known about before, but it just wasn't one of those songs that stuck with me when I heard it, you know? And listening to it, I discovered that I actually really enjoy that song. I love that line. She said, I need you, take me away from here and be my man. And I just love that line. It's like a sexy line. I love a good sexy line. And I learned that song pretty fast after listening to it.
Well, it's, of course, a David Houston classic, and you are true to your roots. I mean, you're set. You know, today somebody said, you know, it takes us back to 65 or 66. And there's some truth to that, but it's also pretty darn original. The inspiration's there, but your sound, though classic, is really contemporary. And how do you balance that kind of roots and trying to sound, you know, viable in 2018?
I really just, you know, I make the music that I like to listen to, and you know, it's kind of the only reason I write songs is because nobody else is writing these kind of songs. So if I want to make, you know, that, you know, country-politan Nashville sound, I gotta write my own songs. But I didn't want to make a throwback record. I didn't want it to sound like a shtick. I don't know why it sounds modern, because I didn't intend for it to. You know, I didn't set out to put any kind of new twist on it or anything. I was listening to a lot of this Nashville sound stuff, and when I was writing, that's just what came out with the pen. And I think it sounds new and fresh because, you know, it is new and fresh. You know, it's made today in 2018, and it sounds different because the technology's different, and you know, it just takes on the character of the times, and it's something that a lot of people haven't heard in a long time. So
nothing is more frustrating to listeners than hearing two guys talk about the way something sounds. So let's play the title track from your album. It's called Mr. Jukebox, and as I said earlier, this sounded, when I saw Mr. Jukebox, that sounds like a happy-go-lucky song about a guy who has an entire being full of songs. But turns out it's actually a downer. And so can you talk a little bit about it and let our listeners down gently, please?
Yeah, it's a pretty autobiographical song. I grew up in Florida, and I started playing the bar scene when I was 10 years old, and learning all these songs, and you know, I'm 33 now, so I've accumulated a pretty vast catalog of country music. And you know, the way it works down here is you know somebody puts $5 in the tip jug or something and asks you to play a song, and you play it and you get to kind of feeling like a human jukebox. And I kind of wrote it about that. And it's sort of, you know, when I'm on stage, you know, people are watching you when you're on stage, but what you might not realize is that I'm also watching you while I'm on stage. You know, you're my entertainment. And watching, it's sort of about watching the people in the bar. You know, maybe there's a couple over here cheating, maybe there's a guy who just got it dumped, he's crying in his beer, you know. It's just sort of about the life of, well, myself, but just sort of a honky-tonk musician.
Just one more time, I'm right here in the corner. Anytime you're feeling blue, if you've got a new romance, well, I've got the perfect dance. If you need me, I'll be here. I'm Mr. Jukebox. This old bar room is my home, and it's the only one I've known. I've been here since I was a little boy, singing songs that people know. I watch them dancing to and fro while the music plays. New lovers find their joy. So feed me nickels, feed me dimes. I'll play your favorite song just one more time. I'm right here in time you're feeling blue. If you've got a new romance, well, I've got the perfect dance. If you need me, I'll be here. I'm Mr. Jukebox. Every night at closing time, Johnny's down his last dime. Still he manages to buy another round. I watch him clinging to the past. As I play, there stands the glass. You can almost hear the teardrops hit the ground. I'll play your favorite song just one more time. I'm right here in the corner. Anytime you're feeling blue, if you've got a new romance, well, I've got the perfect dance. If you need me, I'll be here. I'm Mr. Jukebox.
Great song and the title cut. The new album from Josh Headley. I'm struck by the fact that you're on the hippest label, certainly in Nashville, if not the country. And it's run by Jack White, and you've got label mate Margo Price, which is probably a good thing, a very good thing. Both of you are playing here today. So Third Man is not a traditional label. Jack White's not a traditional producer. And for those who end up Googling you right after this conversation, you'll see a Rolling Stone article that advises Jack White to sign you.
Yeah.
It says if he's looking for a male, Margo Price, this is the guy. And that almost sounds like something apocryphal that a press agent made up. if it's not true, don't shatter our illusions. But what's the story?
Yeah, that was sort of that article is what got me this record deal. It was, you know, it was written by Joe Hudak from Rolling Stone Country, and it said if Jack White's looking to sign a male counterpart to Margaret Price, and you know, I had known Jack previously from working with him, so we had sort of a relationship already, and yeah, it worked. They got a hold of this EP that I made to sell on tour in Australia, and they wanted to put that out, and I said, well, you know, I'm always writing songs, and you know, if you ever felt like doing anything else, you know, give me a call. And they did, and they decided to fold the EP into a full-length record and offer me a recording contract. So it worked out, and I can't sing their praises any more than I already have. It's a wonderful label to be on. They're great people. Jack's great. Ben Swank, Ben Blackwell, Katie Studley. Everybody there is just top-notch people.
That's terrific, and it's always good to find a home that's simpatico with what the kind of music you want to make. So tell me about the songwriting process. It sounds like you're deriving a lot from the past, and so do you go sit and listen to Merle Haggard for a day or two and then say, okay, now I've got it?
I listen to Merle Haggard for a lifetime or two. That's my number one. There's always fighting. There's always a fight between Merle Haggard and Johnny Paycheck for my favorite. But yeah, I was listening to a lot of that 60s Nashville sound, and it sort of came through in my writing, and I have a hard time considering myself a songwriter, even though I do write songs. It's not something that I ever set out to be. You know, I just sort of, it happens the same way every time. I'll get a line or an idea or a feeling or something that's stuck in my brain, and it becomes kind of an obsession, and I just obsess about it for a few days, and then eventually it starts to take shape, and I'll sit down with the guitar and the whole song will just come out, and I can't really explain how it works. I never sit down with my guitar and think, okay, I'm gonna write a song. It's like Tom T. Hall is a songwriter. Tom T. Hall will say, I'm gonna write two songs today before I can leave the house, you know? And I've never done that. I can't do that. I have to be in a mood. I have to be inspired. It doesn't come easy for me, you know? It doesn't really come at all for me. I don't know how it works. It just does, so.
There's a certain risk in declaring you're not gonna leave the house until you write two songs.
Yeah, I'd never leave the house.
Never leave the house.
Yeah.
Right? Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you, I'm excited about your prospects. I'm sure you're gonna head out on tour and support this mm-hmm. new album, Mr. Jukebox. Could you pick one more song off the album that we can share with our listeners?
Yeah, let's play a song called I Never Shed a Tear. It's one of the songs that I always write from personal experience, except for this one. This one is about somebody else. I shall remain nameless. I don't want to blow his spot up, but, you know, something he was going through, and I took some liberties into what he might be thinking at the time, and I wrote the song called I Never Shed a Tear.
On the night when I never said I do, you never wore my ring, and you never meant a thing, and I never shed a tear for you. It's not hard to realize when you look into my eyes. And the truth is, this is how I make it through. You never broke my heart, and I never fell apart, and I never shed a tear for you. So, well, then everyone would know that inside this is tearing me in two. You never broke my pride, and I never died inside, and I never shed a tear for you.
I Never Shed a Tear from Josh Headley from his brand new album on Third Man Records, Mr. Jukebox. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Americana Music News is a podcast produced by Sprinter Media, music by Dave Paulson, and you can reach us at amneditor@gmail.com.